RTC right after the international.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 80 days away to the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Olympics. Africa's youngest country, South Sudan, will be making its second Olympic appearance 10 years after gaining independence. In fact, four South Sudanese athletes have been in Japan since 2019, training for the Tokyo Games. They've been doing their workouts in Maebashi, about 100 kilometers northwest of Tokyo, to take advantage of Japan's training facilities. Tongchor Malik Duran is the Secretary General of South Sudan's National Olympic Committee. Iron Mike Mbonye asked him about the country's Olympic preparations.
South Sudan is preparing now to go to Tokyo. And we have started preparations since 2019. We have sent four athletes to Mombasa City for camping. Called by them, supposed to participate in 2020. So when it defers to 2021, they continue training in Mombasa. So now they are prepared, and when the Olympic Games open, they will be participating there.
How many games did you qualify for the Olympics?
Regarding how many games have qualified, very unfortunate, I will tell you, none of the athletes in various games qualified to Tokyo. But we are depending on what is called universalities for athletics, and then tripartite for taekwondo and boxing and karate, hoping that we'll be given some invitation positions. So the federation we are expecting to participate in Tokyo will be athletics, mainly track and field, and then boxing, then taekwondo and karate.
What are the medal chances of Team South Sudan?
Well, you know, South Sudan is still, we have no proper training centers, infrastructure is very poor, but we send our athletes to nearby countries, Uganda, to Kenya, to Ethiopia, to Sudan. And in Olympic, we are participating in Olympic Games. However, we were expecting to participate in Paralympic Games, whereby we have one athletes for 100 and 200 meters para athletics is in Tokyo and is doing very well now. But South Sudan, unfortunately, is not fully recognized by International Paralympic Committee. But they are doing the best to let South Sudan participate. Our file is in front of Madame Divina Kaiser. They are taking care of the file. We hope at least to participate in Paralympic with some two athletes, male and female athletes, for all the track and field discipline.
That's Tongchor Malik Duran, the Secretary General of South Sudan's National Olympic Committee, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Juba, South Sudan. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more on South Sudan's Olympic team. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. In 2019, the team arrived in Japan well ahead of the original start of the Olympics to take advantage of the country's training facilities. And they were putting the final touches on their workouts when the games were postponed. However, 18-year-old South Sudanese hurdler Akuna Kun tells Reuters the extra year of training has worked to his benefit.
Oh, for me, I don't have... I don't care about that. I'm just continue with my training. If that be help, it's okay. Yeah, and that is all. I don't want to confuse my mind. I just focus on my training, and that's all.
But for team coach Joseph Amarok, the year-long delay has come with a big sacrifice.
When the decision came out from the university and the South Sudan Olympic Committee that we are going to continue here for another year again. So actually, I was worried because on my outside, from my children, it is hard for me. After now, it is hard. But because of the mission, it is a government mission, so I decided to be here.
The South Sudanese team made the nearly 7,000-mile trip to Japan from the world's youngest country. In 2013, 2 years after declaring its independence from Sudan, South Sudan descended into a civil war that left an estimated 400,000 people dead and forced millions from their homes. Akun, who also competes in the 400 meters, says he's proud to represent his country and to bring a message of peace and hope to the people of South Sudan.
And it's been a lot to me even to participate in Olympic. It's not easy, but it's the greatest chance, and I'm so happy to be here. To present my country. That's why in the training, I train hard to make something better.
South Sudanese sprinter Michael Machek has made headlines since he began his training in Maibashi. He's astonished many onlookers with his fast times, despite an upper limb disability on his right arm and hand. Machek's motto is disability is not inability, and says he has two jobs to do in the upcoming Olympic Games. First, to give love, compassion, and support back to the people of Japan, and second, to inspire youth back home as the country's first Paralympic athlete.
This is the first time to come out of my country to go to other country that I am now in Japan. So I feel very proud about that. Since I acquired something here, I will go back to South Sudan and transfer to my young Kamas athlete, so that they will come to reach to our level.
This summer, the South Sudanese athletes will represent their country at the Games for only a second time. South Sudan made its first ever appearance in 2016 at the Rio Games. However, a South Sudanese athlete has yet to bring home a medal. The Tokyo Olympics are set to begin on July 23rd, and the Paralympics will kick off 1 month later on August 24th. And that is all from me, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
My name is Coach Ofori Asari, the head coach of the national boxing team of Ghana. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Of the four medals Ghana has won at the Olympics, three have come in boxing. Clement Korte won a silver medal in the men's light welterweight class at the 1960 Rome Olympics. The late Eddie Blay won a bronze medal in the men's light welterweight class at the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. And Prince Amarte won a bronze medal in the men's middleweight division at the 1972 Munich Games. With the Olympics returning to Tokyo, three members of Ghana's national boxing team, nicknamed the Black Bombers, have qualified for the Games. Yawafusu Larbi caught up with the Black Bombers recently at the Accra Sports Stadium. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yao looks at their Olympic preparations.
Ghana's boxers have begun a stringent process of training ahead of the Olympic Games in Tokyo. And here at the DG Hathramani Sports Hall at Accra Sports Stadium, the boxers have been going through training and exercising, getting ready for the task ahead. Coach Ofori Asari is head coach of the Black Bombers.
Yeah, we are going through the normal training programs. We are only intensifying. We know it has been a long time we won medal at the Olympics, and we wanted to go to this Olympics to bring home medal. So we are working very hard it has been from the time that the president released the contact sports because of the pandemic. And we've been consistent up to date at the sports hall. Very soon, if things go as we expect, we'll be going to camp and then keep improving our level. So we are working very hard, determined, and all the boxers are very, they are all committed, and they wanted to achieve something for themselves as well as for the nation.
The last time Ghana won a medal at the Olympics was in 1992, which is some 29 years ago. How hopeful are you that there will be a medal from your team for Ghana?
Yeah, the hope is we have very talented boxers in terms of Samuel Techi, Suleimanu Tete, and Shakur Sameh. They all have background into boxing, and they are very, very good. They can do everything that others are doing. They know all-round boxing techniques and tactics. All they need is the proper condition in terms of the good food, in terms of good care, in terms of physio. We have doctors around them, psychology, all those things that the international other countries are doing.
One of the qualifiers, Shakur Sameer, whose older brothers, Basti and Issa, were all Olympians for Ghana, hopes he can get to the Olympic Games and do better than his brothers did.
Although my brothers have achieved a lot, you know, by winning a medal at African level, and even some world tournament, they have won a medal. But they participated at the 2008 Olympics. I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't win a medal. Yeah. It was only Basti who won only one fight there. Yeah. So I want to make a difference there. You know, like winning a medal. Yeah, I want to achieve something. What they couldn't do, I want to, you know, do that for them.
Yeah. Now, when you speak about doing what they couldn't do, doesn't that put pressure on you, knowing that, you know, they have walked in the path that you are trying to walk on?
Doesn't put that much pressure on me, because they're always by my side. They stand by me. They always, because they have the experience. They have passed through. So they know what's in. So they always give me a guideline, you know, advising me, giving me tips how I'm gonna go about it. You know, so although it's not that easy, because I'm going to meet champions. Yeah. I also see myself as a champion. So yeah, it doesn't put much pressure on me.
It has been 51 odd years since Ghana won a medal in boxing, and albeit being so good at boxing at the professional level, at amateur level, there hasn't been too much to write home about. These boxers want to change it, and one of them is Samuel Techi.
Oh, now that it's 3 months to the Olympics, now, like I told you, when I'm home, I cannot sleep, because after the country, I'm going to bring good in the country. When I'm home, I cannot sleep. I train hard. I train at my club. I train also here. So I cannot sleep. I must train and bring the good in my country.
Now, when you say you're bringing gold, doesn't that put pressure on you? Because for a country like Ghana that has never won gold at the Olympics, it is a huge thing to promise gold.
No, as me, as a good boxer, it doesn't bring pressure on me, but it tell me to train more, and it tell me to do my preparation well. It doesn't put pressure on me, but it tell me to train more.
I know you are very young. You've been dreaming about this. What would it mean for you?
I'm very young, but I look at Olympics 2008, 2012, 2016, and now it's 2020. I look at them always, and you know, I know myself. Every champion knows himself. If a champion said we'll do something, you know what he's standing on it. So I know what I'm standing on it. I know I can do it, and when I'll do it, I must train hard. If you don't train, you cannot do it. So I'll train hard and do it.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yalfo Silabi in Accra.
My name is Shakur Sameh, junior brother of Basti Sameh, Issa Sameh, a light heavyweight at the Ghana national team, and an Olympic qualifier for 2020. You are listening to
to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Shaka Sali for a memorable career at the Voice of America. Shaka is planning to retire at the end of May. The 12-team Basketball Africa League will tip off its inaugural season on May 16th at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. In an interview with VOA from Johannesburg, South Africa, BAL President Amadou Gallo Fall talked about the league's composition and how the teams qualified.
The Basketball Africa League is a Champions League model. It is building on the tradition of club basketball championships that FIBA, our partner, has been running. You have national leagues in all the countries across the continent. We are taking the champions of national leagues into the Basketball Africa League. And the way we structured this, there were 6 out of the 12 teams that come from countries that we pre-selected based on really their history with basketball tradition, the popularity of the sport, the level of infrastructure, and also where they fit if you look at the rankings, you know, in terms of basketball historically across the continent. The 6 countries that I talked about were Nigeria, which is going to represent Africa in the next Olympics. In the past few years, they've been, you know, a perennial presence in terms of really not only the talent they continue to produce into the NBA, but just their performances in international competition. Teams from Nigeria, Angola, Senegal, Egypt, Tunisia, and Morocco will qualify automatically. And those represent, in some form of order, you know, the top 6, you know, teams, and they are definitely in the top 10 on the continent. And the other 6 teams are coming from countries that FIBA, our partners, organized qualifiers. Teams from 30 countries participated to deliver the other 6. They came from Cameroon, Madagascar, Rwanda, Algeria, Mali, and Mozambique.
Amadou said he believes basketball will continue to attract new fans in Africa.
Everything we've seen over the past few decades since we've been in Africa, since the NBA, you know, have been coming and working at grassroots level to develop the sport, we have no doubt, and everybody recognizes the, you know, tremendous amount of talent that the continent has. You know, they, players from Africa have been having major impact, you know, not only in the NBA, but also in the NCAA. And today, I mean, these days we are the March Madness, the annual college basketball tournament taking place with, you know, many African players in multiple elite college rosters. So, you know, the talent has always been there. The interest in the sport is there. You know, I think through all the grassroots events that we conduct, the junior NBA programs we've launched in multiple countries, you know, we see that there is interest among the youth. I think having a professional league right here on the continent that is going to play in prime time that is going to be broadcasted to viewers across the African continent and around the world is going to add another, layer in terms of spotlighting the popularity of basketball on the continent. We've seen the fan base grow. NBA games are in multiple platforms across the continent, right here in South Africa through ESPN, our partner, and ETV. And you go in the Francophone countries, it's broadcasted on Canal Plus. And we recently, NBA Africa has recently signed a partnership in Kenya. That is, the games are broadcasted on free to air, and we're getting, tremendous feedback from that. So the fan base has steadily grown. So we are, really excited about the opportunity to continue to even grow that more.
That's Amadou Gallo Fall, the president of the Basketball Africa League, which tips off its inaugural season on May 16th at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. And Amadou was talking with the Voice of America in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Sporty greetings. I'm Ogo Daudu, head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. And good luck to Rivers Hoopers in the Basketball Africa League. In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Philadelphia 76ers beat the host Chicago Bulls by 12 points for their fifth consecutive victory. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Tobias Harris scored 21 points and Seth Curry added 20 as the 76ers earned their fifth straight win, 106-94 over the Bulls. Philadelphia led by as many as 23 in the third quarter and by 20 to start the fourth, but Chicago went on a 24-5 run to get within 88-87 midway through the final period before the 76ers embarked on a 12-4 run. Every Sixers starter scored in double figures as Ben Simmons delivered 15, Danny Green had 14, and a relatively quiet Joel Embiid scored 13.
I haven't been looking to score except the San Antonio game, because I really had to. No one on the team had it going. Whenever I'm needed, I'm going to be there. I can't win alone.
The Sixers now lead the East by one game over the Nets. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Now let's go to Los Angeles, where the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers snapped a three-game losing streak. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Playing without LeBron James, the Lakers got a much-needed win, beating the Nuggets 93-89. L.A. had lost 6 out of 7. The Lakers led by 14 points midway through the fourth quarter before the Nuggets got within 89-87 with a late rally. But Anthony Davis came up with a key basket and a big block shot in the closing seconds to help secure the win. Davis finished with 25 points. Nikola Jokic scored 32 to lead Denver. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Here in Washington, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, waved their wands and beat the Indiana Pacers 154-141 to continue their push for a playoff berth. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Wizards star Russell Westbrook, who scored 14 points to go along with his career-high 21 rebounds and career tying 24 assists. It's only the third time in NBA history a player has tallied 20-plus rebounds and 20-plus assists in a game. Westbrook and the late Wilt Chamberlain have the other two. It was also Westbrook's league-leading 32nd triple-double of the season.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carollo Basketball. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. My Voice of America colleague Gwen Uten joins us once again with a preview of Tuesday evening's decisive UEFA Champions League football semifinal match between Manchester City and visiting Paris Saint-Germain. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Saturday, PSG forward Kylian Mbappe missed out on their 2-1 League One victory over Lens due to a calf injury. And speculation began circulating over the weekend on whether or not he would appear in their upcoming Champions League semifinal tie against Manchester City. Mbappe is PSG's top scorer this season, and manager Mauricio Pochettino has admitted he's worried leading up to their Champions League match. But he told reporters on Monday a final decision concerning Mbappe would be made after the first team training session.
I think we need to assess Kylian. Today he's going to start with individual training sessions and see if he can be with the team on the end. I think it's still one day and we see it today. Still, we didn't decide if it can be available or not for to play tomorrow.
PSG suffered a 2-1 first leg defeat in Paris last week and must score at least 2 goals on Tuesday to reach the Champions League final. And Pochettino said with or without Mbappe, his side must stay aggressive against Manchester City.
Of course, tomorrow they have an advantage 2-1 for them. And of course, we need to take the risk. We need to be brave. We need to be aggressive and we need to plan the game, knowing that Manchester City is a team that can manage a different way to play, being clever and believing and try to show our quality on the pitch. It's going to be a battle, it's going to be difficult, but the most important is that we are going to be ready.
Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola also spoke to reporters on Monday and said playing the second leg of a semifinal is even tougher than playing for the championship. And although Kylian Mbappe is still in doubt, Guardiola says he hopes to see him on the pitch alongside Brazilian striker Neymar.
In the first half, they were exceptional. And Mbappe was dangerous. And Neymar was as usual. The second half, we were better. Like we were better, they were worse. But they judge Mbappe and Neymar because they lost. And like they lost, they play bad. If they win, they play good. But if you ask me opinion, they play good. And they are going to play good, I know. What you have to do, what is the best way to let them play not good? And this is what I wanted to try tomorrow.
Since joining Man City in 2016, Guardiola has won 2 Premier League titles, an FA Cup title, and 4 League Cup titles. And now, with a 2-1 lead going into the second leg, he is within touching distance of entering his first Champions League final with the club. And although he's already won the trophy twice as the coach for Barcelona, Guardiola says he's prepared to overcome the past disappointments of being eliminated in the Champions League with Manchester City.
It was disappointing at the same time, but life, like in sport especially, always gives you another opportunity, another challenge. And that is where it's fantastic. So the nice thing is that when disappointed we had, especially the last 2 seasons in quarterfinals with the way we were out against the Spurs and last season against Lyon, being here again. So that's nice. And that's why I would love to say, yeah, we'll learn from that, but maybe tomorrow we play a bad game. I don't think about it, but playing a bad game and we are out of the final. But in the same times, what I think right now, we're going to do an incredible game and going to reach the final. So this is my feeling. But if the other ones, they're better, like I said many times, all the times when I went out, I congratulate the opponent and next year going to try, but we don't want to miss this opportunity. Don't be in ourselves and do a good game. And I had the feeling we're going to do well.
Guardiola says the key for his side is to stay in control of their emotions if they are to make history when they face Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League semifinal second leg match on Tuesday. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the May 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.